How are y'all doing this morning? It's good to see everybody here this morning. I couldn't sing this morning because yesterday my wife's dog took off and ran off and tried to run underneath the truck. And I tried to stop it, and I hollered out and screamed trying to stop the dog. When I did, my voice went like that. You know, this is when I always say when it does something wrong, it's her dog. And when it does something good, it's mine. But anyway, be praying for me that my voice holds out. Oh, I got a question for y'all this morning. How many of y'all would consider yourself to be a patient person? Patient. You know, think about it. Being patient, able to wait. You know, I worked cows before. And a lot of times the... It depends on the ranch owner. The older they are, the better they are as far as they like to open the pens up and bait the cattle in. And usually that works, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you have some that just absolutely refuse to come in. But they like to do this, and it takes a lot of patience for a cowboy to wait. Especially the younger you are, the more you're just hoping and praying that there's some that just absolutely refuse. You might even cut in front of them just to kind of cut some of them off, just so you can go rope them and tie them down and then drag them in, you know. It's the yee-haw part. But this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that I've had to deal with in my own life, and that's being patient. Waiting for God to do things in my life. You know, let's face it, we don't like to wait, do we? You just think about it. You don't like waiting in line for something, for anything. You don't like waiting for traffic. You get in traffic, you want it to move. You get someone that's in front of you, and it's a 75 mile an hour, and they're doing 55. And you're just staying, and they're blocking everything, and nobody, and everybody, both the cars, it's two-lane highway, and both of them are doing 55. And you're going, I want to blow the horn, but that's not Christian to blow the horn and say, get out of the way and let me go by. Patience. You know, we don't like stopping for a stoplight. We don't like the long lines at the airports. You know, we don't like waiting for our food when they're bringing it. And you sit there and you order it, and 45 minutes to an hour later, you're going, where's my food? You know, I'm way past hungry. We really, as a society, don't like to wait. And a lot of us, when we go fishing even, we don't even want to wait for the fish to start biting. I mean, we're that selfish to ourselves. We just don't like waiting, period. And it's no different when it comes to waiting on God. You know, when you're sick, when you're hurting, when you're praying for God to heal you of some malady that's going on with your body, when you're asking God to be with a family situation that is just tearing the family apart, when you're asking for personal things for yourself to change in your life, all these things takes time, don't it? And a lot of times we're not patient about it. We're not patient. We want God to act now. We want God to intervene immediately and take care of whatever is going on, whatever problem we have. Whether it's a relationship, we want that answered prayer right now. The question I have for you this morning, when was God ever late? Have you ever just thought about it for a second? When has God ever been late on a prayer? When has he ever been early to answer a prayer? A lot of times, God has to get things together. He has to cause things to line up to answer your prayer. Whether it's for a job, you may be without a job, and you're going, you know, how long is it going to take? All he's got to do is go, there's a job, and I get it. Why is it taking so long for me to get a job? The question I have, too, does God really have the power to change our circumstances? Do you really believe that? I mean, really, do you really believe it? Do you, when you pray that prayer asking for God for something, do you expect God to show up? Do you expect an answer from God? Boy, I'm telling you, I do. I really, man, when I get to praying about something, you know, I always say, Lord, in your time, but, you know, if you can lean toward my direction just a little bit and give it to me just as quick as you can, I really would appreciate it. I had lots of folks come to me and say, would you pray for this and you pray for that? And a lot of times I don't know the whole situation that's going on when someone asks me to pray for them, but the Holy Spirit does. So I always lean on the Holy Spirit, and I said, God, you know exactly what's going on in that person or that family. I don't. I don't know every bit of the scenario that's happening. The want-tos and the not want-to, I don't know. I said, but God, you do. I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you answer that prayer, that it's convenient for you and it works for you and it works your plan out for their life. But waiting for God is so hard. We want him to hurry up and get going so that we can get going with our plans. Have you ever asked any of these questions? Can you relate to being impatient? Can you really? I mean, we say we're a patient person. I saw some hands when I said, are you patient? You know, but are you really patient after hearing some of those comments? I know that I can relate to it because there are times when I do, I get impatient and I try to hurry God along. You know, God is always faithful. You know, every time I look back and every time I've asked for a prayer and I, you know, while I'm in the middle of the fire, when I'm in the middle of the problem, a lot of times I can't see God working. But then after he answers the prayer, I look back and I go, holy moly, look at what he did. He answered that prayer, but he didn't answer it the way I thought he was going to. Ever had that happen? He didn't answer it the way you planned. I had all these little plans, you know, I planned out. I go, this is the way you can work this out, God. He goes, boy, you got a lot to learn, son. I work things out for my good, not always for yours. Now, did you hear that? I work things out for my good, not all. But he says he always works things together for good for us, right? Well, what we think is good for us and what God thinks is good for us could be two different things, couldn't it? Excuse me. But he always has a specific reason for telling us sometimes to wait. And it's our responsibility to do what? To trust. It is. To trust that God knows what's best. And that's probably the root cause behind all the decisions that we make to jump ahead of God. When you try to get ahead of God, what is that saying? What are you doing? You're saying you don't trust him? When you jump ahead of God, that's disobedience. Every single time I got in front of God, I had to pay for it. It cost me something. I didn't wait on him, so I said, well, if you're not going to act by cracky, I am. And I just kick the door down and get after it. And then, he would whoop the fire out of me every single time. There was a price for it was an arrogant attitude that I had that I could get it done. Man, you just think about most cowboys, they are get it done type people, aren't they? You give them a problem, and it's not whether they're going to be able to do it, it's just how they're going to do it and how long it's going to take. You know, the impossible just takes a little bit longer in our attitudes. And that is an arrogant, I hate to say it, guys and girls, but that's an arrogant attitude when it comes to God and the way he does things. It means that we can work things out better than God can work things out. You know, the Lord, it says in the Bible, that the Lord is good to those who wait on him. He's good to them who wait on him, to the soul that seeks him. That's in Lamentations 3:25. You know, I truly believe that most of the time and all the time, God is not just stringing things along just to kind of cause us a little suffering. We think he does, or to tantalize that little bitty bait in front of our face and say, it's going to happen. Ha-ha. Just keep on believing in me, trying to suck us in and draw us in. It says in Romans 8:28, and most of you can say this by heart, he is working all things together for the good and his glory. It's for our good and for his glory. Don't get those two confused, because sometimes what we think is good, God doesn't, because he has a master plan for your life. He has a master plan for mine. Most times when I get off track, it wasn't God that put me off track. It was me. I did something stupid. When I should have went left, I went right. When I should have made the right decision, I made the wrong decision. A lot of times when I pray, I ask God to not only forgive me of my sins for the things that I've done, but I ask him to forgive me for the things I didn't do. The things that I think in my mind that are sinful, I ask for forgiveness. But I also ask forgiveness of the things that I didn't think of. The things that I should have, because I was in a sinful state and I was thinking about me. When we wait on God, it gives us a supernatural physical and spiritual energy. In Isaiah 40:29-31, it says this: he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Man, those are powerful, powerful words. That doesn't mean, it means one thing. Youth doesn't always count for the strength of the family. That an older person who has the strength of the Lord in them can outdo a young person. Whew. You hear that, old guys? And I'm talking to me. When you have the power of God in you, you can outdo even the youngsters, all the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, if you have the strength of the Lord in them. You can run them into the ground. It's not you doing it, but the power of God in you. You know, when God makes a promise, faith believes it. Hope anticipates it, and patience quietly waits for it to come about. Did y'all hear that? I'm going to say that again. Hope anticipates prayer, the answered prayer. It anticipates it. Patience quietly waits, and hope anticipates it. You know, when we go through trials and problems, it makes us stronger, don't it? You know, if you're an athlete and you're trying to get stronger, what do you got to do? You have to exercise. You pick up the weights and you start working. And you work that muscle till it just absolutely, it's just a sore. You can't hardly pick it up anymore and it just drops. And you've exhausted every bit of your strength to do it. You have to let that muscle rest. But in 2 to 3 days later, you go to get that exercise, that same muscle, and you pick up the weights, and what do you got to do? You got to add some weight, because that muscle has gotten strong, and that little 20-pound or 30-pound weight that you was lifting before now is too light to really hurt that muscle and to make it get weak and to bring pain into it. So you have to get heavier. And you see these guys before long, they're stronger than a bull. I mean, they are just absolutely, they cannot hardly, they have to. I remember one time when I was working in the gym, there was this guy, and he was preparing to be Mr. America, the U.S. Bodybuilding Championship. And this guy was a monster. He was. And he and I and another two guys worked out together, and he said, man, I need some help. And I said, well, what you need? He said, you weigh about 200 pounds, right? And I said, yeah. He said, I need you to climb up on top of me, on top of my shoulders. And I went, what? He said, yeah, I need you to climb up on top of him, and y'all hold him up there, and put your knees on top of my shoulders right here, and just sit on top of me. And I said, for why do you want me to do that? He says, so I can work my lats. I can't pull it down. Because every time he'd pull down, he'd just pull him right up. He said, I need extra weight on me to be able to exercise them. I thought, man, that is a perfect example way it is in God's kingdom. When our faith needs to be exercised, doesn't it? Boy, we don't like doing it, though, do it? Do we? You think about it. Because when you exercise your faith, that means you've got to go through some kind of problem, some kind of pain, and come out the other side stronger. So when the next thing comes along, you're going, well, that ain't nothing. Man, I done been through that. I know God's faithful. I know God's strong enough. So sometimes something worse comes along. Something even that tries you even more. God is constantly putting us in situations in our lives so that we will get stronger, so that our faith will be stronger, so we'll be strong in the Lord. Because there's going to be people that's going to come to you and go, how do you get through this or that? How did you make it through a death in a family? How, you know, a close loved one. How did you do that? You say, well, it wasn't anything I did. It was the strength of the Lord and prayer. You're able to minister to that person and tell them of God's righteousness and God's power. I was thinking the other day, I was roping the dummy, and I was throwing it to a sawhorse, and I was just practicing my delivery. But when I first started, I realized, man, that kind of things in there, it's not work. I can hear things popping and cracking, and the muscle didn't want to work right. And I said, man, if I got to deliver like this, you know, I got to come down, I got to do this, and I got to do that. I just kept doing it till finally it quit hurting. I exercised past the pain to get to it, and it made me stronger. When you wait, you get to see God working on your behalf and how He lays out everything perfectly in your life. When you get on the other side, you can see where at first you were disappointed, you were discouraged, you were frustrated, and you were just wondering, man, Lord, are you even there? Are you hearing me? And you get on the other side and you go, man, I see exactly now, Lord, why I had to wait, because of this happened and that happened. He's always has perfect timing. When we get in front of God, we mess up the blessing He has for us. We trip ourselves up with our own lack of faith. I want you to know one thing. My God makes things happen. I don't know who you serve, but the God I serve is a powerful God that loves me. And when I pray, I'm telling you, the foundations of hell, the gates shake. Because Satan runs. Satan, you start praying, Satan can't stand it. You start quoting scripture and he runs. I'm telling you, he heads the other direction and says, I'm going to go find somebody else that doesn't know God's word. I cannot stand up against that. That is the power of God. God does make things happen. And he is more powerful than any situation that I can get myself into. And brother, let me tell you, I can get in some stupors. Because I am stupid a lot of times. I make a lot of mistakes. because I'm human. And God, I know that sometimes he just sits up there and he goes, boy, haven't you learned yet? Bring it to me first. Don't try to fix it on your own. When someone comes to you, pray before you answer. Consult me before you speak. So you don't say something stupid. Whether it's any kind of situation, any test, any sickness, it could be any one of a thousand things that you or I go through. Things that we need him for. God is big enough for any problem that I've got and you have. You know, waiting for cows to come to the pen makes for a safer day. And sometimes it makes for a longer day. But believe me, when I say that God has got this, he is more than able. Do you get it? He's more than able to handle anything you're going through. And you say, well, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. I don't have to know what you're going through. There is nothing that you're going through that is not common to anybody else. It says in the scripture that's common to man. So that means that whatever you've gone through, there's been other Christians that's gone through it before you, and they came out on the other side through the power of God. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You haven't lost a loved one like I have. You haven't gone through this. You haven't lost your job. You don't know what it's like. I may not, but God does. Nothing that you're going through is not common that other people have had to go through. So how did they get through it? Can you imagine what it's like to go through anything without God? You're lost. There's no hope. You're going, man, what am I going to do? And you're scrounging to figure out what you're going to do, how you're going to motivate yourself. As believers, man, thank God that we have him, that all we have to do is bow our heads, get on our knees, and ask. And he takes care of it. Nothing that we go through is not something that someone else has gone through before us. God is always faithful. God is more than able. Amen. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not a believer. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted that free gift. Maybe you just really don't understand how it all works. You would like to be a Christian. You would like to have that free gift of eternal life, but you just flat don't know really what to do. Man, don't leave. Don't leave till you get that right. Times are so short, y'all. We are in a time in our lives where we could see Christ come back soon, sooner than we think. You go, man, I tell you, I hope it ain't tomorrow because I got this, this, and this to do. I'm telling you, it could be tomorrow. It really could. It could be tomorrow. On Wednesday night, we're going through a Bible study that, or the round pen that talks about preparing yourself to get ready for Christ's return. I'm telling you, we're finding out that a lot of us are not really ready. We're not. A lot of folks are afraid, actually, of Christ coming back because they're thinking about, oh, I've got this friend that doesn't know the Lord, or my spouse, my husband, or my wife, or this or that. You know, I want him to come, but I wish he'd wait a little while. You're afraid for him to come. I want to tell you, if you knew for a fact, and I'm going to ask you this question, if you knew for a fact that you were told that Jesus was coming tomorrow, it's going to be it. That's all there is. There's no more time to do anything else. What would you do with the rest of today? That was the question I posed to the folks on Wednesday night. If you knew without a doubt that Jesus was coming tomorrow, what would you do with the rest of today? Would it be life as usual? Well, I think I'll go wash my car. or I think I'll go work cows, or I'll go do this, or I'll go do that. I need to run to the grocery store. Who would you tell about Jesus? Who would be the person you'd go, I know that that person does not know the Lord. I need to tell them about it before it's too late. That sister or brother-in-law or cousin or nephew or grandchild or maybe a parent or grandparent. If you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, what would you do? I tell you, that is a sobering question, isn't it? What would you do? How would you act or do differently? I think I would do a lot of things different. If you really do think that you would do things different, you realize that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, right? You're only guaranteed today. Today, where you're at right now. Not after you leave this building, but today, right now, is the only time you really have. So if you've been putting it off, man, don't put it off no longer. Get things right with the Lord today. If you've got sins that you need to confess, get them confessed today. Get right with the Lord before it is too late. Don't wait till everybody's gone and you're going, well, where's my wife or where's my husband? Well, they were just standing just there. And you heard a trumpet blast and it's too late. They're gone. And you're left behind. I tell you, you become a believer then. I'll tell you, you may not be a believer before, but when Jesus comes back, I promise you, you're going to be a believer. Because you're going to know it's a fact. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it's just so time for us to stop playing with Christianity. It is so much time for us that we realize, Lord, that we don't have any time. Time is not our own. And in this situation, time's not our friend, Lord, because time is running out, time is short. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would all get ourselves right with you, that our fellowship with you, Father, would become a sweet thing, that we, whatever trail that we're riding down now, Lord, that if it's not the trail that you want us on, Father, that you convict us and we turn around and repent and come back to you. And trust in you for each and every moment, every second of our life. However long we have, Lord, I know we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but I pray that if someone does not know you today, that they would get it right, that they would receive you today and have fellowship with you. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Want to welcome you if you're visiting here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. We're glad to have you.